I owe you $180. Okay. Okay, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, we're up to the Mishnah. Wine has a special bracha. That's the opening Mishnah. The bracha really should have been Bari Pri Ha'Eitz, but it's an exception to the rule, so we say Bari Pri Ha'Gofen. So the Mishnah at the end of the Perek has a Machlokes Satanam, do you say Bari Pri Ha'Gofen, even if you didn't do Mezigah, we pass, can you do? And here the Mishnah is going to say there are different kinds, the Gemara is going to explain there are different kinds of drinking wine. There's wine in the middle of the meal, that's lishros, to wash down the food. Then there's wine, lishtos, before the meal, after the meal, that's lishtos. Lishtos is considered more choshev than lishros. Lishros, it could be any liquid will wash down the food. So the Gemara says, if you say a bracha on the wine in the middle of the meal, lishros, that does not cover the wine after the meal, even though there was no hesach hadas. But Tosfos says if it would be the reverse, if you drink wine before the meal, not only does it pata the bracha for the wine that you drink after the meal, because they're both lishtos, but it even kal v'chaimer that it patas the bracha for the wine in the middle of the meal, because the wine in the middle of the meal is only lishros, that's a lower level of importance. So if you said the bracha on the lishtos, it certainly covers the wine lishros. What's the din if you are drinking a little bit of wine here, and then you want to continue and drink in a different location? So Tosfos raises the issue, Mem Beis Amud Beis, and the long Tosfos for Avsheshes Amud, they quote Pesachim Kuf Aleph, it's a machlokes, what's the din of Shinim Ofim? Yeah, how do we pass on then? The top Tosfos also has about, where's the top Tosfos? Here, the second Tosfos from the top, and Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Bolehem Yayin. Tosfos quotes the din, Shinim Ofim Tzarech Levarech. What are the rules of Shinim Ofim? So in Shulchan Aruch they have, based on the Gemara, that there are three rules. If it's Mipina Lepina Bosa Cheder, then it's not considered a Shinim Ofim at all. And even though he started eating, even though he started drinking wine in one corner, a big wedding hall, let's say, and he wants to continue drinking wine in the other corner, that's considered the same Ofim. And if it's Micheder Lecheder Bosa Bayis, then it depends whether he had Kavona or not. If he had intention, let's say here in the yeshiva, there are a lot of classrooms and the base medrash and hallways and everything. It's all one building. So mecheder lecheder bosa bayis depends. If you had a mind in the beginning that you may be walking around from one hallway, from one room to the other, then it's not called a shinimok. But if it's mebayis lebayis, let's say from one building to the other, or even let's say you live in an apartment building, I'm going to start eating in my apartment, I'm going to finish eating in my neighbor's apartment. That's not mecheder lecheder bosa bayis. The Pashto said that's like mebayis lebayis, a different apartment. If you have outside, I have two apartments, one on top of the other, and they're connected. So that's probably mecheder lecheder bosa bayis. But if I'm going to start in my apartment, finish in the neighbor's apartment, that's mebayis lebayis, and mebayis lebayis. So shinim ofim requires a bracha, even if you had a mind in the beginning. So what if, let's say, a person is walking on the highway, and he's drinking, so then every couple of steps he drinks some more, every minute he's going to drink some more. He has to keep on saying another bracha, shinim ofim, it's always going to be a shinim ofim. So the answer is no, that's a special dispensation. A person who, from the very outset, not that he wants to start in one apartment and finish in another building, another apartment, he's traveling. If a person is traveling, then there's no institution of shinim ofim. Okay. Yeah, where did this concept come from that Shinim Ofim is considered new achilon? You have to say a new bracha. It's only all the Birchas Hanenin is only the Rabbanon. We usually call the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Deraisa Tikkun. So we suggest that maybe the concept came from the din by Korban Pesach. Ein ho'echal lo'echal b'shnei mekoymus. There's a machlekes satanoim, and we paskin ha'pesach nechal b'shnei mekoymus. Let's say you have a Korban Pesach, and 10 people are shutfim, and we made up in Lechatchila, 5 are very friendly, and 5 are friendly. These 5 have nothing to do with those 5, but it's an expensive proposition to buy behema. So we went into shutfis together. So 5 are going to eat in one house in Yerushalayim, in Old City, and 5 are going to eat in the other house in Yerushalayim. So Pesach Nechol B'Shnei B'Kaimus, that's not a problem. The Korban Pesach may be divided in half, and half you'll eat, you're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. Take it out of Yerushalayim is Nipsal B'Yotze, but... But you can take half to one home and half to another apartment. Ein ha'echel ha'echel b'shnei mekamos. Let's say the person is eating. Once you start eating in one location, you can't decide to finish your share. Let's say they gave me three kezesim of the Korban Pesach, and I ate two kezesim here, and I'd like to take a walk and eat the other kezesim in a different location. So then the din says that that's called the new achila, and that one person is not allowed to have more than one achila. Once he ate a kezais here, he already had one achila. So if he wants to have many kezaisim here, that's all considered hamshach, one big achila, even if the third kezais, that's going to be tuk the achila's prasa, the first kezais. That's not a problem. It's a hamshach of achila. But to eat b'shnei mekaymes, ein ha'echal ha'echal b'shnei mekaymes. So that's what I suggest. And maybe the din of shinei makom sarach levarach by Birchas Hananen was patterned after the din deraisa of Korban Pesach. But anyway, the sugi of Shinim Makom is over there in Psochem Daf Kuf Aleph, in Perik Arbi Psochem. Yeah. Why does the Mishnah have a din? If everybody's sitting around and they all want to eat bread, Hoyu Yoshvim, the last two lines on the Mishnah, Mem Beis and Manalev, Hoyu Yoshvim, everybody's sitting around, Galechem Abrochli Atzma, everybody has to say his own Brocha Hamoitzi. Why can't you say Shemer Kohenah? So you see from the Mishnah, it would appear, You don't permit Shemei Kohen by Birchas Hananen. That was what the Ran quoted from the Yerushalmi. The Ran on the Rif in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes that from the Yerushalmi, that Shemei Kohen is a rule in Kol HaTorah Kul. I can listen to somebody else say Kiddush, say Havdalah. Whenever you have listened to Tkiyah Shofar, it's also based on Shemei Kohen. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have Haggadah, so one person would recite the Haggadah Baal Peh. All the others would be yotze with Shemei Kohenah. So Shemei Kohenah, there are three exceptions to the rule. The Yerushalmi says one is Kriya Shema, because Seichel dictates everybody should be Mekabel Olam Malchus Shamayim on his own. The other exception to the rule is Tfila. If you have a tzarech, you have a chela, you need a parnasa, you need a shidduch, whatever you need. So you should ask on your own. Why should you rely on someone else and just say Amen, be yotze with Shemei Kohenah? And the third exception to the rule is when you're eating food. You didn't ask him to eat another sandwich for you. You ate the sandwich yourself. So the correct practice should be, you should say the bracha yourself, both before and after. We shouldn't permit Shemei Kohenah by brachas in connection with eating food, because the person ate the food himself. So he should say his own bracha. So you really shouldn't allow Shemei Kohenah by bracha before or after eating food. So that's what the Mishnah says. Ha'yoshim kalechem b'broch liatzma. But then it says, Hesebe Echem Mevroch Lukulam. If they're eating the Hesebe, one person says Hamaitzi, and the others are Yaitze. And we don't follow it at all. On Friday and Shabbos and Yontif, one person says Hamaitzi, and everybody's Yaitze. We're not eating the Hesebe. So Tosis explains, Hesebe means if they're all eating Bekvias. So in the days of the Tanaim, that was acceptable, that was normal to eat bikvias. If they're all eating bikvias, apparently the Mishnah says that's an exception to the rules of Rav Soloveitchik. You can explain what it means is that the Chachamim never required that each and every individual person should recite a bracha on the food, and the others are yotze with Shemei Kohenah. The whole Chabura offers one bracha. If they're eating b'chabura, the whole Chabura offers one bracha. There's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch that many Achronim don't accept. Ramah has a Chiddush. I said Hamoitzi on Shabbos and Yontif, and I had a slice of challah, and I distributed the challah to the others. And the other people talked, they were mafsik b'dibur. Dibur is considered mafsik b'haraya, that if you put on shal yad, hasoch ben tfilo le tfilo, choyze mevorach, you have to say over the bracha, lan yech tfilin, you have to say an additional bracha. So you see, the talking is constitutes a hafsik. So if the Ramah says, if a person says a bracha on bread and he talks before he eats the bread, then he has to say a new bracha. He should really not talk until after he swallows the bread. That's what the Achronim say on Shulchan Aruch. There was a common practice that people would start chewing the challah, they would start talking right away. The Lashon Hara was so juicy, they couldn't hold it in for another minute. It's juicier than the challah. So they had to talk. So they say that that's not right, because chewing food, it doesn't require a bracha. Only requires a bracha if you swallow the food. So we said there's a Rashash in the middle of Nedorim. He tries to defend the common minhag ha'olam that the people are mezalzel in this din. He says maybe the chewing of the food is the haskalah of the eating. So So maybe as long as there wasn't a hefsek between the bracha and the beginning of the eating, the chewing of the food. So let's go the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you shouldn't talk at all in between hamoitzi and swallowing the first bit of food, and if you talk, you got to say over the bracha. So what if I'm saying hamoitzi for the whole group, and I took a bit of challah in my mouth and I swallowed it, but then by the time I give challah to all the others, give slices to the others, they start talking after I swallowed my challah, they start talking before they start eating their challah. So the Ramah defends that. He says that you don't have to say another bracha. If the idea would be that when one says hamoitzi, all the others are yotze, which is mekaina, so it's considered as if all 10 people said their own hamoitzi. So if each person says hamoitzi, and each someone is going to talk in between his bracha hamoitzi and the eating of the food, so he has to say a new bracha. He's not yotze with the bracha. So what in the world is the Ramah based on? Tachreidim are not happy with the Ramah, but what is the Ramah based on? Obviously the Ramah thinks that it's not based on Shemea Kohina. It's a din like Rav Soloveitchik explained. The whole Chabura is offering one Hamoitzi for the whole Chabura. So as long as one person ate a little bit, one, as long as one person swallowed a little Chala without being Mafsik, so the Brocha is Chal for the whole Chabura. The whole group of people said a Brocha, and one of the group swallowed the challah before someone talked. So the bracha is chal for the whole chabura. Interesting. So that's why that's an exception to the rule. If heisebu echem bracha l'kulam, heisebu, because they're only called the chabura if they eat beheisebu, because in the days of the Tanaim, that was an accepted practice to eat beheisebu. Tosis, the bottom Tosis points out, onwein lano heisebu, bizmanas and nobody does any heisebu. We find it so uncomfortable. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the opinion of the Rav Yoh that the whole idea of Haseba on Pesach night, you should eat the matzah Haseba, doesn't apply bismanazeh because it is just a nuisance. It doesn't make any sense. So in Shulchan Aruch, they say the women rely on the Rav Yoh and the men don't. Lachatchila, the men do not rely on the Rav Yoh. We insist that you have to eat the matzah Haseba and so on. What if B'di'evit yet B'li'aseba says sometimes there'll be mekel based on the Rav Yoh, but Tzirif the Rav Yoh with other considerations. So the Tosis has a lotion, Yeshiva didan ke'aseba didu. By us, if we're sitting around the same table, that's the maximum kviyas we can have because we don't have this practice any longer to eat B'aseba. So Yeshiva didan is a kviyas. Let's say the person is going to say Amoitzi, he's going to say when everybody's standing. So that's not standing, it's not the maximum kviyas he can have. A maximum acceptable kviyas is to be sitting around the table. So the pashto should be that you're not even yotze the bracha b'di'evit. I don't know, in Shulchan Aruch they have kulas about this. But the pashto should be that if the person says hamoitzi, and some of the people are standing, so those who are standing are not yotze, only those who are sitting are yotze. How do you know that... So then you bench mezuman. Then there's an idea. The Ran quoted the Yerushalmi that there's no shamer kaina by eating food, not for the bracha before, not for the bracha after. You ate the food yourself. You didn't ask the other person to eat an extra sandwich. You ate the food yourself, so you should say the brachas yourself, both the bracha before and the bracha after. So the bracha before, how come we do allow shamer kaina? One person said that. We explained that's not shamer kaina. The whole chabur offers one bracha. So the same is when you bench mezuman also. That's not based on Shemir Kohen. It's not that the one, in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, only the mezamin would bench and the others would just say amen. Not everybody would say the brichas hamazon. The Mechaber quotes Rishonim who recommend that you shouldn't rely on the Shemir Kohen. You should say along the benching with the mezamin. The mezamin has to say the whole benching out loud till the Olamai Chasreinu, but the rest of the people who are benching mezuman should also say along softly with them. Why should they say along softly? Medina di Gemara, the Mezamin says, the whole Chabur offers one Birchas HaMazon. So the Mechaber says, because we're not so careful about paying attention to someone else. We're all going to be Yotze with the Bracha of the Mezamin, but our attention span keeps on getting shorter and shorter. Now the attention span is much less than it used to be in my days. Rav Soloveitchik would get a shiur for 4 hours. Yesterday at the city field, everybody was talking about Rav Soloveitchik. So on his yard side, he would give the shiur for 4 hours, and people would sit glued to the seats. Everybody would be able to pay attention from the beginning to the end. And today, nobody has such an attention span for so long. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says, we're afraid that the The people in the Chabura may not pay attention, so we recommend everybody should say along softly the Mezamin, but the Mezamin should say the whole benching out loud. So how does that work? That's the question. How does it work? We just said, the Yerushalmi says that Birchas HaMazon is an exception to the rule. You don't allow Shemek Koine. So the answer is, when the Mezamin says the benching out loud, and let's say there are three people, Shlosh Yishoch L'Kachas, the others are not Yotze with Shemek Koine, just like HaMotzi is a Vort. The whole Chabura offers one HaMotzi, so too the whole Chabura offers one Birchas HaMazon. That's interesting. Sounds like it was on the level of their Isa. It's a different kind of a Birchas HaMazon. The Rav Soloveitchik thought, yeah. The Mishneh Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achrayim, then he quotes a Machlokes Rishonim, whether the concept of benching Mezumen is their Isa Rabban. Rav Soloveitchik, his attitude usually was, learning all the Gemara, his attitude always was, when the Gemara has a din, we always assume that it's a din their Isa, unless you have a Raya Fakert, unless you have a Hechrech, that it's only a din their Rabban. I don't know, the Mishneh Berurah always quotes the Prima Godim. Prima Godim always assumes, unless you know Beferish, that it's a Pasuk. If the Gemara doesn't quote a Pasuk, then you assume everything is only the Rabbanon, unless you can prove that it's their Isa. But Rav Soloveitchik's attitude was always the reverse. Even the things that the Chazon Ish says, yeah, this is only the Rabbanon, Rav Soloveitchik broke his head, he assumed everything in the Gemara is a din der Isa, unless it's Beferish that it's a din der Rabbanon. So he thought that Mezumen is also a din der Isa. That the two kinds of Birchas HaMazon. One is a person eats bread, so he bench. Two people eat bread, they bench, each one benches. And then if three people eat bread, then there's a Birchas HaMazon b'chabura. The whole group is only obligated to offer one Birchas HaMazon. Not that it's considered with Shemei Kaina as if all of the three of them recited the Birchas HaMazon. The whole chabura offered one Birchas HaMazon. So Tchaps and Afkamina, the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Sefer Birchas Avraham. Because Avraham is before the days of the Shach and Yeridei, Simon Yutes. Also quotes from this Sefer, Birchas Avraham. He's a Rav in Germany, he wrote a Sefer on all the brachas. His name is Avraham, and he wrote a Sefer on various brachas. He has, in that Sefer, he complains about the Yekish Aminig, that in the morning, the Chazan gets up and he says, Adon Olam, he starts Adon Olam, then he says, the first thing he says, Anatilus Yadai. So he complained, the Birchas Avraham complains about that. He washed his hands 45 minutes ago, or an hour ago. What's he saying now? Anatilus Yadayim. Even if you hold like the Orz Arua, the Machloek is the Orz Arua, and the Rambam, where they can say a brach l'achar asiyosam, but not 45 minutes later. If you just washed your hands and you dried your hands and you realized you forgot to say the brach, he's still drying your hands. They say Anatilus Yadayim, but not an hour later. That's his time. So the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Birchas Avraham, different, in the same safe, a different thing. He says, we usually follow Tosfos. There's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos later in Brachos where the Shemei Kohen applies if I don't understand the language. Let's say someone is reciting Kiddush and I'm a Baal Teshuva, I don't understand Hebrew. I know that Shabbos is a holy day, I know you're not allowed to do Melacha, I know you have to recite Kiddush, but I don't know Hebrew, I don't know what the words are. So if I say Kiddush myself, so I say the Kiddush. I know the general idea of what Kiddush is, I'm Yotzeh, but am I Yotzeh with Shemei Kohen? Is that called Shemeiah? Shameya, if I'm deaf, ani lo shameya. But even if I'm not deaf, I can hear. But ani lo mevin, says that. In Hebrew you say, ani lo shameya. I don't understand. Ata shameya, do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the root of the machlokes? Mishnah Megillah says that you can read the Megillah in Hebrew even for one who doesn't understand Hebrew. Everybody's Yotze. So Rashi says, there you have to see, you say Shemei Kaina, even if he doesn't understand the language. And Tosfos interprets that the Gemara asks that Kasha. The Gemara says that's an exception to the rule, because Mikra Megillah is for the purpose of Pesumi Nisa, and you're accomplishing the Pesumi Nisa. That's an exception to the rule. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, he wouldn't allow Shemei Kaina if the person doesn't understand. So the Shulchan Aruch adapts the position of the Tosfos. You only say Shemei Kaina if you understand. That's why the Mishneh Berurah raised an issue that many of the women, he lived in Poland, many of the women in Eastern Europe didn't know Hebrew. Maybe the rest of the world also, they didn't know Hebrew. But at least in Eastern Europe where he lived, they didn't know Hebrew, so they didn't understand the words of Kiddush. So, Baruch Pri HaGofen, that more or less, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that's, every bracha goes like that, so that more or less, they know what that means. Melech, in Yiddish, a Melech. HaOlam, everybody knows Olam. Baruch Pri HaGofen, more or less they understand. But then, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvah Yisov, that's not bad. V'Ratzavanu, that's a hard word. Hinchilona, hinchaltona, those are difficult words. So a lot of the women don't know what those words mean. A lot of men also don't understand, but the Mishnah Berurah pins the blame on the women. The women don't understand the words. So he recommends maybe the women who don't understand the words, maybe they should say along softly with the husband. The husband should say the Baruch Piyagof, and that they do understand. And the beginning, Baruch Atam, Ken Malach Ha'olam, Hashem Hashem Hashem, so that they understand. But then, Baruch Tzavanu, Shabbos Kotshach, Hin Chaltonu, Hin Chilonu, and so on, maybe they should say that along. Till the last line, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, so Baruch Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, that they do know every word. So the beginning and the end, they should be Yotze with Shemei Kohen, and the middle of the Bracha, the bulk of the Bracha, maybe they should say along on their own. Because we allow, we had Rabbi Kivega in the Jewish Vechidush, and the Sefer HaBrachos, pointed out that there was a thesis early on Daf Chaf and Beis that you can permit Shema Kaina on a half a bracha. I'll listen to half of your bracha. I'll insert in the middle a woman is benching for herself and her husband wants to be yotze. So she doesn't say Al Brischa Shechasamta Bibsareinu Al Taroscha Shalimaratono. She doesn't say that. By us, the meaning is the women do say, but thesis is interpreting it more. The woman is not going to say. So the husband will say on his own the missing line, and then the wife will pick up later. Okay, so you see that you say Shemei Kohen on a half her broch. So the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is like Tosfos that Mikra Megillah is a Yotzim and a Klal because it's for the purpose of Pesumei Nisa. So even though you really shouldn't have allowed Shemei Kohen for one who doesn't understand Hebrew, this is an exception to the rule. But for Kiddush, we wouldn't allow Shemei Kohen. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah quotes when this Sefer Birchas Abraham, when you're benching Mizuman, and some of the listeners don't understand Hebrew, so everybody's Yotze. So why is that? So obviously he assumes that it's not when the whole group is Yotze with the benching of the Mizamein, it's not based on Shema Kaina. The Halacha is like probably the way Rav Soloveitchik explained, the whole Chabur offered one Birchas Hamazon. The whole group should offer, just like the whole Chabur offers one Amoitzi, so the whole group offers one Birchas Hamazon. How come the definition of Chabura here, you have to have a minimum of three? If you have two people, it's not called a Chabura. And then for Hamoitzi, even if you only have two people, it's also called a Chabura. So Tosfos says that Kasha. Where's that Tosfos? In Chulin. Tosfos in Chulin asked that Kasha, beginning of Kol HaBosar. So Tosfos says, because after they finish eating, everyone's going to leave. So the whole kviyas is over. So it only constitutes a kviyas if you had three. But when they wash on until it's a dam, they're about to start hamoitzi, no one's running anywhere. Everyone's going to sit and eat. So two is also called a kviyas. But as far as birchas hamoz and after the meal is concerned, that's only called an achila bikviyas if you have three or more. If you have less than three, it's not. How can the Yerushalmi say we don't allow shemek kind of birchas hamoz? It's a beferish gemara. The first daf in Shloshes Sheochlu. The Mishnah says Shloshes Sheochlu kachas chayovim lezamein. So the gemara has a machlekes amaroim. What do you mean chayovim? If you have two people, there's no mezumen at all. Or if you have two people, it's optional. It's a rishus to be mezamein, but there's no chiyuv. So the gemara comes to the conclusion there's no zimen at all. If two people ate, shnayim sheochlu mitzvah lecholik. Each one should recite benching on his own. Why is it a mitzvah lecholik? Why can't you have beroy v'am hadras melech? Why don't you have one person like Kiddush? If you have 20 people, it's preferable that one should say the Kiddush and all the others should be yotze rather than have 20 people say Kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch, beroy v'am hadras melech. The Hasidim don't do like that. The Mistagnim say the Hasidim do lifnei mishur hasadin, against the din. Lifnei mishur hasadin. That's why he said all the last week in the Pirkei Avos. By the Mistagim, they say Pshat in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Le'am Horetz Chassid, and Amoritz can't be a Chassid. Chassid always has to do Keneged the Din. If he does, he's an Amoritz. Half the time he'll guess the Din correctly. Half the time he'll be wrong. So when he thinks he's doing Keneged the Din, half the time he'll be doing like the Din. So he can't always be a Chassid. Chassid has to do Faket for the Din. That's the Mistagim. The Hasidim saved Judaism, though. The Mistagim have to admit that Hasidim saved Judaism for the whole world. If there wouldn't be any Hasidim, probably no one would be a Shema Mitzvahs anymore. But that's traditionally, Hasidim, the Mistagim like to make fun of the Hasidim. Maybe the Hasidim make fun of the Mistagim also, whatever. So the Gemara says over there, Shnaim Shachlu Mitzvah Lecholik. They shouldn't say, Bereivam Harasmelt, let one person bench and let the other one be Yotze. Bereivam Harasmelt. No, we don't allow Shema Kohen on benching. That's why Shnam Shach le mitzvah lecholik. We don't permit Shemei Kaina. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, Bamidvar Mamurim Kishishneim Sofrim. They're both learned people. That's a mem heyamim base. Avol, however, Echad Seifa v'Echad Bur, if one of them does know how to bench, Seifa Mavarach Ubur Yotzei, then we do allow Shemei Kaina. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agra that he has this kasha, but you just said from the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi is based on the Mishnah, is that we don't allow Shemei Kaina by Birchas HaMazon. So the official answer that the Vilna Gaon gives, quoted by the Mishnah Brura, is this whole Yerushalmi, that there are three cases where we don't permit Shemei Kaina by Triyashma, because of the Kabbalah Samach Shamayim angle, and the tefillah because of bakashas sarachim and eating food, this hold all the three exceptions to the rule are only a chumra midrabbanim. And I tell you, always allow shemei kainah. So if you have a big shas atrak, the fellow is a boy, he doesn't know how to say the birchas hamosan. So then we have the right to revert back to the din derais. If you have a shas atrak, you can revert back to the din derais. So the pashtus is, let's say a person has a sore throat, and the doctor says he's not allowed to talk for a week. Not a lot of talk, so how's he going to daven? How's he going to say Kriya Shema? He can't just look. Hear a lav kedivadom, you have to pronounce the words. So the answer is he should stand next to someone else going to say word for word the davening out loud. And he'll be yotze with Shemei Kain. If you have a big shas atrak, he's sifin the Gemara. If you have a soif and a boor, so b'shas atrak, we revert back to the din deraisa that we do permit Shemei Kain. So that's this idea that the Ran quoted from the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's what it says in the Mishnah. For the purpose of reciting Hamoitzi, we only permit one person to say Hamoitzi for the whole group. If Hesebu, Echad Mavarech Lekulam. That's the last line of Mem Beis Amanalat. But Hoyu Yoshvim, they didn't have the maximum kviyas, Kolech Leyach Mavarech Leatzmo. And the Pashtus is that you need Sebu for benching Mizuman as well. That's what the Tosis points out. The difference between Yoshvim and Mesubin, Yoshvim and Hesebu, is not only with respect to Brach Rishonim, with respect to the Brichas HaMazon Shalach HaKach. Because we don't permit Shemei Koine in either. And if you have Chabura means that Hesebu, then it, not that we rely on Shemei Koine, but Kach Tikno Chachamim, or maybe that's the Din Deraisa, that the whole Chabura offers one Amoitzi. Hamotz is only the Rabbanan, and the whole Chabura only offers one Birchas HaMazon. Yeah. Because it's a bracha that the Chabura offers, so therefore, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there's room to make a deal in the Rambam and to say that even though usually the Gemara says in Sukkah, Shomea Ki'oine, if a person pays attention to the Kiddush and he didn't answer Amen, nonetheless, Shomea Ki'oine, if he pays attention, is considered as good as if he would have answered Amen. And if he would have answered Amen Kala, and Amen Ki Lahoti Bracha Mipiv Dami, so there's room to say that's only by private Bracha, Kiddush, Abdullah, whatever. But by Benchim Mizuman, there's room to be Medaik and the Rambam, and by Hamoitzi, I'm going to be Moitzi others with the Hamoitzi, there's room to say that if the others don't answer Amen, they're not Mitzurif to the Chabura. It's different. If you're being Yotze with Shemei Kaina, then we say, Shamea Ki'oina, even if he didn't say Amen, Shamea Ki'oina. But if it's not an inyan of Shamea Ki'oina, it's considered as if the whole Chabura offers one bracha, then there's room to say that that you have to have Anios Amen Le'ikuva. The Mashmo is in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the end of Perek Aleph in Uchas Brochas, whenever you hear someone say a bracha, the proper practice should be, should always say Amen. And then there are three cases where the Rambam says again, everybody has to say Amen. He doesn't always say. One case is by Chazoras Hashatz, one case is by Benchim Mezuman, and the third case is the Gemara in the beginning of Perek Aroya, when someone went to visit a Cholish in Esrape, and the Cholish in Esrape is supposed to say Birchas HaGoyimah. So he didn't say it. One of the visitors, one who came to be Mevaker, one of the Talmidim came to visit, said Birchachmana Diyavach Lon Veloli Afra. Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gave you back your life, that you're not you didn't die and you weren't buried. Diyavach Lon, the Rebbe Shalom gave you back to us, Veloli Afra, you weren't buried in the ground, you're still alive. So the Rambam reads in the Gemara, that's how it sounds in the Gemara. They're not Mechuyev, there is no such bracha. There is no such bracha. They're not mechuyev to say such a bracha, but they volunteered such a bracha. So if the choylish and his rabbi says amen, then his yotze, even though the nusach is not shegmalani kol tu, he didn't say in first person. He didn't say, blessed be the Rabbanu Shalom, he brought me back to life. The other person said, blessed be the Rabbanu Shalom who brought you back to life. So if it had been based on Shemei Kaina, it's considered as if I said, blessed be the Rabbanu Shalom who brought you back to life. He's supposed to say, brought me back to life. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, if he said amen, that is good. So that's what the Medayik and the Rambam, maybe from Rab Chaim, others have this diuk as well. Rab Leib Malan has the diuk in his sefer. He doesn't say that he heard it from Rab Elbalan. He just has the Rambam writes in three places, you have to say amen. Sounds like that's Le'ikuva. So that's a different din by the Brichas HaGaimel, because the others are not Mechuyev. So maybe that's a different story. But these two, why by Benchim Mezuman and by Chazar Sanshas, that's Rav Soloveitchik thought, maybe these two are unique, that there's the whole Chabura, the whole Minyan offers the Chazar Sanshas. It's a Tfilo Satzibur. It's not Stam, that the one who daven, Halabai Sheis Palo Adam Kalayam Kuloi, so the Chazan davens Balachosh, then he davens again B'Kol Rom. Why does he daven again B'Kol Rom? Tfilos Nedoven. What is he Ben Adiv? You have to add on something? He's adding on Kedusha. The first time he said Balachosh, he didn't say Kedusha, now he's going to add on Kedusha. That's what it's based on. It can't be based on that, because on Shabbos we don't permit Tfilos Nedoven. The Rambam quotes from the Rif, I think, you don't allow Tfilos Nedoven on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to be Makor in Nedorim and Nedoves on Shabbos and Yontov. So you're not allowed to daven Tfilos Nedoven either on Shabbos and Yontov. Nonetheless, on Shabbos and Yontov, Chazan says the Tfilah Balachosh, then he repeats the Chazar Sashatz out loud. So it's not that he's saying another Shmon Esrei. If it was Yotze the first one, the answer is the second Shmon Esrei is a Tfilah Satzibur. The first one was a Tfilah Bitzibur. Tfilah Sayochid, that we all daven together. And the Chazar Sashatz is one Tfilah on behalf of the whole Tzibur. Where do you find a mocker that a Brocha of a Tzibur, a Brocha of a Chabura has a different din from a Brocha Sayochid? So the Achrayim have a Kasha that Rabbi Kivega pointed out on Daf Chof and based on the Tosfos that you see from the Tosfos that you allow Shemei Kohen on a Hefer Brocha. The wife says, Noi Delecho up until Abrischo Shechosamta Bibsareinu Alterosko Shelimadaton, and then the husband says that, then the wife picks up. So you see Shemei Kohen on a Hefer Brocha, and we seem to have two sources that contradict it. One source is the Rif that Tosfos quotes. How many people can you divide up bench mezuman? Among how many people can you divide it up? So the premise is that you don't divide up a bracha in two. It has to go in units of a bracha. Then the other marker was from the Mishnah in, where was the Mishnah? In Tfilos HaShachar or in Ein Omdim, I forgot already. If the shatz shen shtatek be'emtza ha'tfilah, so the Mishnah says someone else should take over. He has to go to the beginning of the bracha. He can't just take over in the middle of the bracha. And on Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah Berurah says that the only time it happens usually is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because there's so many long piyutim, so the Chazan sometimes loses his voice in the middle. And we treat the Gimel Rishon as still HaMelech HaKadosh, you treat it as one. So if the Chazan can't finish HaMelech HaKadosh, so then the new person has to start all the way from the beginning. He has to start from the beginning of the bracha. There's no need to repeat all the piyutim that you said already, but he has to repeat the Shemana Esri again. So why is that you can't just pick up where the first chazan left off? Here, the Rebbe Kivega has a Tosfos on Daf Chof and Beis that you do allow Shemei Kohen and a half a bracha. So why is Chazar Sashatz different, and why is Bench and Mizuma different? Tosfos quotes in the Mif, from the Rif. So the Birchas Rosh talks about it, the Chazanish talks about it. Rav Soloveitchik thought the answer is that these are brachas of the tzibur, bracha of the chabura. When you bench mezum, and the whole chabura is offering a bench. So he thought by bracha of a chabura, chazor sashatz, has to go in units of brachas. You can't say Shemei Kohen on Hefalah. It's not based on Shemei Kohen at all. The chabura has to offer all of these brachas in the correct order. But it's not based on Shemei Kohen, and it doesn't work on a half a bracha. So he thought that maybe that's the answer to the Anias Amen also. When is Anias Amen Le'ikuvev? And the Rambam is Mashma, perhaps. Anias Amen is Ma'akev by the Chazor HaSashatz and by the Bench of Mezuman. because it's a bracha of the whole chabura, so you have to have audience participation. Otherwise, it's not called a bracha of the chabura. They're just going to sit there and not say anything. Just shake their head. So maybe over there, ani asamein is likul. That poses a big problem because a lot of times on people don't say amen properly. A lot of times people chapois and they say amen too soon before the mevorach, before the chazan finishes the last syllable of the bracha. So then it comes out that you don't have nine people answering amen. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch, karav adav liyas bracha levatola. So they say that that's why the Soloveitchik family in Eretz Yisrael always davens b'chidus. They don't want to daven in shul because they're not going to be yotzei chazeras hashatz anyway, because they're not going to have nine people answering properly. So you should have nine Soloveitchiks. They should all daven in the same shul. So you'll have 10 people answering properly. But they say that's why Rav Elvola, they explained, that's why Rav Elvola used to make the announcement like Rav Soloveitchik made the same announcement. Probably saw it by his grandfather, Barab Chaim. Before Tkiya Shofar, so Rabbi Soloveitchik obviously used to make an announcement that everybody should have a mind to be Yotzin, everybody should say Amen, and you should only say Amen after the Chazan says the final syllable of each Baruch. You shouldn't say Amen too soon. He would make this announcement because you want to have Tkiya Sal Seder HaBrachas. Only called Tkiya Sal Seder HaBrachas if he Yotzin Chazaras HaShatz. A lot of people say a long Shemon Esen Rosh Hashanah, and they only finish when the Chazan is already in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. So they're not Yotzei Chazaras HaShatz. Chazaras HaShatz, you have to hear from the beginning to the end. So he insisted everybody has to pay attention. Everybody, you have to have nine people answering properly, or Amen properly. If they're not answering properly, perhaps it's considered as if they didn't answer Amen. If they didn't answer Amen, so there's no Chazaras HaShatz.
Somebody standing away and wants to start saying,
benching
the woman, he can answer. He's not at the table.
He ate at the table. Yeah, they all ate together. And then he has to, and they whistle to him. They say, you want to bench the woman? Say, okay, say. So they say, Rabbi Zayin Baruch, he answers where he is. And then the mezamen says, at least till the end of the first bracha out loud, as on the sakol. And the other guy's listening. So they're all yotzei together.
Even if he's not sitting, he's
yeah. He was eating with them. He was eating. They ate together.
It's not the same thing as the bracha was shown to them. Then you have to be sitting. You shouldn't be standing.
Yeah.
That's different. For the
You have to be sitting when the person is saying the hamotzi. Yeah. But over here, by the bench of Mezuman, you have to have eaten together. You have to have eaten together, behesebe, in order to be able to have a bench of Mezuman.
For the bracha b'chavura, wouldn't you think that an eno maven also, but if not participating in the b'chavura, why should
it be good? Okay, maybe it's no good. The Birchas Avraham had that chiddush, that he thinks that it's good, even though he's eno maven, because it's not based on Shemei Kohen. There's room to dingza. You can say that if he doesn't understand, it's not mitzdarif to him. Then the Mishnah records on the top of Membeis. Mishnah records a practice that they have is manatanoim. They used to burn incense on coals after the Birchas Hamazon. Why? They probably thought that it helps in digesting the food. That if you smell the mukma, it's going to help. So whomever we were mechabe to bench mezuman. It says, Echem Avarach Lekulam, one benches Mizuman to be mighty everybody, but who Aimer Alam Mugma, whoever we want Mechabe to bench, Birchas Hamazon, Misa Hamascha, B'mitzvah, Omen Vlog Demor, he said, he has the schus. Doesn't mean that there's an Avera, if he wants to give it away to someone else, it's fine, but we say he has the schus, Hamascha, B'mitzvah, Omen Vlog Demor, he has the schus, that if he wants to, he has the right to say the Bracha on the Mugma, to be moitzi everybody. What's the bracha on the mugbar? So the Gemara has, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there is such an institution of Birchas Hareach. That's about 10 lines from the top of Mem Gimel on the base. Omarav Zutra Batuvia, Omarav, quotes the name Rav, Menayin Shem Barachim Al Hareach Shenema, Kon Al Shema Ta'aluka, Eze Dabash An Shema, Nenes Mimen, Ve'en Aguf Nen Men, Havyem Zeh Hareach. They were only misak and a bracha lefaneha. There's no bracha shalachreha on reach. on food, if you eat enough, there's a bracha shalach on reach. The Gemara says there's no bracha shalach reach. How many brachas are there on reach? So if you're eating a fruit that's edible, you say anosin reach toy ba peiros. That's the Gemara over there. Then sometimes you say bari atze besamim. If the thing is a flower that stands up, sometimes bari izve besamim. It's just a grass. And if it's none of the above, then you say bari mini besamim. Bari mini besamim. Yeah. Tosis has a discussion. Tosis mem gimel amad aleph. The alohado she b'chol makom. Tosis raises a question. What if the person does know there's something that has a good smell? He doesn't know whether it grows like an asab or it grows like an eitz. Does it grow with a tall stem like a tree? So it's bari atze besamim. Or is it like a grass? Bari is b'samim. So what bracha should he say? So we would say bari mini b'samim. That's what the Tosfos quotes. Rav Moshe Mikutzi says bari mini b'samim. Rav Moshe Mikutzi is the one who wrote the Smag Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. And the first Bala Tosfos says no. Say shahakol. Shahakol is the bracha that covers anything and everything. So the Bala Tosfos holds that it even covers a reach, covers reach also. Yeah. But if it's a fruit that's edible, right, lachid, then you say, no, it's a reach toy ba peiros. Yeah, what's the story? If you want to smell the esrog on sukkahs, is that permissible? It's hooked to the mitzvah, so are you allowed to smell it? So the Gemara says, since the esrog is basically oimed lachila, it's only hooked to the mitzvah, so for achila purposes. But to smell it is okay. But the hadasim are oimed l'reach. That's what hadasim are all about. They're oimed l'reach. So then, by the hadasim, it's hooked to the mitzvah, so with respect to reach. So in Shulchan Aruch, so it says you're permitted to smell the esrog on sukkahs. So some people had a practice, they would smell the esrog before they would say the bracha. On the tilas lulav, they take the shul's lulav and esrog, they'll be yitzit. They would smell it, because the Gemara says that it's mutter to smell the esrog. It's only hooked in the mitzvah, so for achila purposes, the ikir hishtamshus of the esrog is achila. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They quote the Rishonim, that's not right. Maybe the bracha nesim reach toy ba peiros only makes sense if it's a pre that's muta b'achila. But if it's a pre that for some reason or another you're not allowed to eat, let's say orlo, the first 3 years you're not allowed to eat the pre, so you're not allowed to smell the reach either. That's a bad example. You're not allowed to smell the reach and tzasa b'hano. But let's say you have some kind of a fruit that tzasa b'achila muta b'hano. Like let's say the esrog on sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah for achila, but it's not osa b'ano. So that's a question. Does it make sense to say that's a reach toy ba peiros? Because these peiros are not really edible, because it's osa b'achila because of the hooked to the mitzvah. So that's why they recommend the Shulchan Aruch, since it's going to be a suffix, what bracha to say? You're allowed to smell it, but it's going to be questionable whether it's is it proper to say the bracha on that's a reach toy ba peiros, or maybe you say bar mini b'samim. So since it's a shaila, which bracha to say, he said that's why we should avoid the whole issue. We should not smell the esrog during sukkahs. But if the sukkahs is over, it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah, so he said then you can eat it if you want. So then if you smell it, then it smells good. He said, that's a reach toy ba peiros. The Tzlach had a fantastic chiddush. Tzlach is sefer of Dinei Reb Yehuda on the whole Masechta. So some comments in the Tzlach gained more popularity than others. Some of them are famous than others. He has on every daf, he has something to say. So the Tzlach has a comment over here. Why did Rav have to come up with a new source? What do you need a new mocker? We said also the Hanis Marala Mazebeloi Bracha. So he comes up with a fantastic chiddush. The question is he right or not? He thinks that the Bichus Arech is not a Bichus Anenin. Bichus Anenin is only regarding Achilo Shtia. They never made a Takon Arech because Kol Marav Arech ain't bo Mishum Me'ilo. The Gemara said on the first daf in Ketzim Mevorchim, Al Nenim and Olam Azeb Eloi Brocha is Mo'al. It's considered as if you did Me'ilo because everything in the world belongs to Hashem. It should really be treated like Hegdash. Hashem Horetz Emeloya. Table, the Yeshua, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything should really be an Issa Me'ilah. That's what Mark puts, the bottom line on Lamed Hem and Aleph, Lashem Horetz Melech Table, the Yeshua. So if you're talking about Me'ilah, then the Gemara says that Reach ain't bo Mishum Me'ilah. So that's why they had to come up with a new Takon. So that's why Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this in one of his Svarim. And he says he doesn't think it's correct, because the Gemara said, when Rabbi Shua ben Levi made that statement, Kol Marivarechem Ba Mishum Me'ila, Masechas Me'ila, and in Psochem and other locations also, it doesn't go Kol Amare, all Kol Amare Zem Ba Mamish, it is no Me'ila, but Reach is only a specific case. Reach goes on the Ketoris Lacha Shatala Tim Rasai, and the reason why Zem Ba Me'ila Mishamein Lachadab Shanasas Ben Tzosai Mo'ilim Bo. But if it wasn't Nasis Mitzvah, then there would be Me'ila in Reach. It's called Yesh Bo Mamish. So that's why this Tzlacha is a little shaky. But we saw the Gemara in Amin Aleph, around 20 lines before the bottom, Amem Gimel Amin Aleph, raises the question, Me'im Mishamir Brochem Al Arech. When do you start saying the Brochem Al Arech? Gemara says, you should tell it to Rasa before you're about to smell. They used to burn it on the coals, and then you see a cloud of smoke is coming towards you. So before the smoke hits your nose, say the Broch. So the Gemara said, how can you say Broch HaRech? But he didn't smell it yet. You shouldn't say the Broch until after he smells it. The Gemara says, why not? What about a Broch that you say on the Bari Pri Adama? You always say the Broch before you eat the food. So here it's the same thing. You say the Broch before you smell the Rech. Why did this Mandom and the Gemara think that you shouldn't say the Broch? Why did he consider it a kasha? You shouldn't say the Broch the left, he smell it. So apparently he must have thought like the tzlach. The Abamina clearly was like the tzlach. The birchas hareach is not a birchas hanenen that you have to recite before you get to hanon. No, it's dafke like a birchas shevach vahido. Birchas shevach vahido. Birchas hamitzvah is always over lasiyosim. A birchas hanenen is always before, in advance. And if you're in the middle of a meal and you realize that you forgot to say a brocha, so the Gemara says nun aleph aman aleph, that you say the brocha in the middle of the meal. Because Mishach al Shum v'Rechanayev, the person ate garlic and you can smell him and it annoys people. So should he eat some more garlic to annoy the people more? Yachsav Yach al Shum. So if he forgot to say the Broch at the beginning of the meal, now he's in the middle of the meal, he has another half to go. So you say, don't say a Broch now. That's ridiculous. He did an Aver the first half of the meal he ate without a Broch. He shouldn't repeat the Aver. So if he's in the middle of the meal, he didn't say a Broch yet, say a Broch in the middle of the meal. So Ravina says, therefore, Hilkach, even if he finished the whole meal, Ravina Hilkach, even if he finished the Afilu Gomesudosa, should also say the bracha, because he is of the opinion that you can have a matel and a freya. Then Gemara says, we don't paskal like that. You can't have a matel and a freya. On the level of the rice, for sure you cannot have a matel and a freya. Let's say a person will eat tevel, and after he eats the tevel, and he violated an aver, then he'll be mafrish the challah from the dough, and then he'll be mafrish the trumas and maizvahs from the fruits of the vegetables. So the hafrashas trumas and maizvahs and the hafrashas challah is the matah that takes off the yisr. You can't have a matah l'mafreya. A chalas chutz l'aretz is a derabonon on top of a derabonon. Chalas chutz l'aretz, even chalas eretz yisrael b'zman is only derabonon. Chalas chutz l'aretz is only otto eretz yisrael. So the whole thing is a derabonon on top of a derabonon. So there in the Mishnah, there the Gemara has the chorus daf chav zayin, because it's a derabonon kal, it's a double derabonon. So the Gemara says you have a whole list, a whole series of kulas that they introduced. So one of them is Ech Mechelech V'Chakach Mafresh. You can be Mata Diyisa Tevel HaMafreya. If you left over a little bit, you ate some cookies and you leave over a little bit from the box of cookies, then after Shabbos, after Yonder, you can be Mafresh Chala from what you left over. So there is, on the level of the Rabbanon, there is such a concept of doing a Mata HaMafreya. So that's what Ravina thought. You can say a Birchas HaNenin after you finish eating the food. The Gemara says, no, we don't accept Ravina's argument. So that could be that was involved over here by this. The Gemara had a Havamina. Amos Amir Rochem al Arech. One opinion was you should wait till after you get Hanor from the Rech, because Birchas Arech is not a Birchas HaNenin, that it should require that you should say it in advance of getting the Hanor. It should really be like a Birchas Shevach Vahidoya. Birchas Shevach Vahidoya, you always say after the fact, after I see the ocean, and after I see the tall mountains, and after I see the lightning, and after I hear the thunder. The brachas are always recited after Birchas Shevach Vahidoya. Birchas Bar Mi'ori Ho'esh and Abdullah, that's a Machlokes and Achrayim. Is that a Birchas Hanenin? So it should be recited Ovel Asiyasam before you look at your fingernails? Or should you say, no, it's not a Birchas Hanenin. You don't say every day when you eat food. Whenever you eat food, you say a bracha. What are you going to say over here? Every time you use a light of a candle, you're going to say a bracha. You only say Bar Mi'ori Ho'esh HaMatzoy Shabbos Because that's when the Medrash says, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam Rishon how to harness the energy in fire, and that's how all of everything developed in the world. All of technology developed because they started harnessing the energy from the fire. So maybe it's only a Bichas HaShevach, maybe it's not at all a Bichas HaNenin, maybe it's a Bichas HaShevach. Nafkimin v'lchap, if it's a Bichas HaShevach, then you say the bracha davka l'achar asiyosim, after you look at your fingernails. And if it's a Bichas HaNenin, then you should say the bracha l'oivel asiyosim, before you get hanah from your fingers. So different minhagim. In one of the later volumes of the Igaris Moshe, somebody asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, what does he think? So he said, he doesn't understand what they're asking. Of course, he said the bracha in advance. So Bichas HaNenin, he said the bracha, but it's a machlekes achreinim. Seichel perhaps dictates faket, that you should davke have the hanah first and then say the bracha. Because it's not a Bichas HaNenin. If it would have been a Bichas HaNenin, you would say every day, whenever you have hanah from a fire, you would say the bracha, bar mi'ari ha'esh. We don't say it every day. You only say it on Mitzvah Shabbos. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam Rishon how to harness the energy in the fire. So this is a powerful Mishnah. It has a lot of dinim over here. The whole institution of a benchim and zuman. Wow. Yeah, the Gemara Mem Gimel Amud Aleph has a question whether Yayin also is the same as Pas, or maybe only Pas stands out. The Gemara comes to the conclusion Pas and Yayin are the same. That yeah, if you have Haseba, one can recite the benching to be Moitzi everybody. One can cite Bar Pi Agafen to be Moitzi everybody. And if there's no Haseba, then not. The concept of Haseba applies only to Pas and doesn't apply to any other foods. So what's taka the din of all other foods? So the Gemara has two versions. So one tulushan is the first lotion, and the second lotion. And it's a machlekes the Rambam and the Raivi, which lotion we should pasken like. So the two versions of the Gemara are, they say, all other foods aside from wine and bread, you can be moitze the other people, even though there's no hasebi, even though there's no yashvu. You don't need that it should be a chabura. He says Shemei Kohenah. The only achila that's such a chashivas that you don't allow Shemei Kohenah is a pas and yayin, and everything else he would permit Shemei Kohenah. And the other opinion is no, since the only two food items that have a possibility of haseba is pas and yayin. Nothing else has any haseba. So on the other things, you cannot be moitzi the other person at all. So those are the two opinions, and the Gemara Machlekes, the Rambam, the Raivin, and the Mechaber quotes the two shittas. Let's say everybody's having a beer party. They're all drinking beer. Everybody's having potato chips. They're eating tuna fish salad, whatever, shahakal or something, bar pi adam or something, and something other than pas and yayin. So do you say one can be moitzi everybody, shemei kainem? Or do you say no, you cannot be moitzi at all, since the whole concept of a seba simply doesn't apply, so you cannot be moitzi at all. So those are two lashonis in Gemara. Machlek Zerushanim had a paskan. What's the story with Musk? What in the world is Musk? Musk is something that smells good. So the Gemara says it doesn't come from a flower that stands up that you say Bari Atziv Samim. Doesn't come from an herb that you say bari is b'sami, you say bari mini b'sami. Sure. If you smell musk, chutzpah na musk, hashem in chayahu, shemavach mala, bari mini b'sami. The Gemara had all these four brachas. Nosem reach to ba peiris, and bari atz b'sami, bari is b'sami, bari mini b'sami, then baruch shenosem, what was the other bracha? Shemen orev. Bari shemen orev. Sure. Five brachas on reach. Five different brachas. So the musk is something that comes from a chaya that they used to smell. So the Rishonim have a shaila. Are you permitted? You want to give it, you want to give the food a smell. So what if you pour musk into the soup? So it causes it to smell good. Is the musk kosher? Because it comes from a non-kosher animal. It comes from the blood of a non-kosher animal. So that question that was raised by the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, so they quote, they say the name Rabbeinu Yonah, that since the whole dam of the musk undergoes a major change, usually dam does not smell good, but there's a gland in the body of the chaya, of the trefa chaya, that picks up the blood, and it somehow there's some kind of a enzyme or something in this gland. The gland gives off an enzyme that causes the musk to change its nature. Instead of being like dam, so it smells like perfume. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says that that's an Issa Shenishtana. It's a major change. An Issa Shenishtana is Mutta. A Chiddush. It doesn't say anywhere in Shas. Issa Shenishtana is Mutta. Where is there a Mokka? Issa Shenishtana should be Mutta. We have a din Ashina Koine by a Ganef. And if a Ganef steals Tleb and Asa Ayel, Egel and Asa Shor, and Asa Shina Biyodai Knoi. Or if the Ganef steals a table and he paints it in a different color. So he's Koine B'Shinoi. And the Gemara says, Koine B'Shinoi, where does that come from? The Gemara says, that's rooted in the Machlokes B'Shama and B'Silel, with respect to Esnan Zayna Mechir Kelev. It says, Liyav Esnan Mechir Kelev Tras Hashem, Ki Toavis Hashem, Gam Shneihem. So the Gemara says, Shneihem, with a Hey Mem at the end, Heim B'Lo Shinoyim. That's how B'Silel says. Heim B'Lo Shinoyim. Only if, let's say, I went to a Zayna and I gave her chitim, or I gave her grapes, as Esnan Zayna. And then she goes, she's a religious girl. The Zayna is a religious girl. So she squeezes out the grapes and she makes wine. She wants to bring it to be menasach on the Mizbech HaMatona. Or she grinds up the kernels of grain. I gave her chitim. She grinds it up. She made flour. She made a shinoi. And she wants to be makarit as a mincha on the Beis HaMikdosh. Very often the Zionists want a kapara because they know that their line of parnasa is improper. So that's why they have in Shulchan Aruch, when you're building a Beis HaKnesses and the Zionist wants to give a donation, you shouldn't accept it, because in the Beis HaMikdash they wouldn't have accepted Esnan Zionist, so we shouldn't accept it either. But apparently my father told me that it's a common practice that when you're building a shul, so the Jewish prostitutes like to come and donate something because they know they need a kapara. They're not going to get a kapara, because they do be amazing. Not going to get a kapara. So the, strictly speaking, if they give money, so that's heim v'lo shiniyayim. So that's the machlekes bisham and bisil. So bisil darf in the word taras Hashem gam shneihem. The word shneihem, the hey mem is heim v'lo shiniyayim. If it's chitim vasos and soilis and anovim and she made it into yayin, then it's Shinui, you can't say Shinui is kind. Shinui is kind is a terminology that only applies to a ganav. Ganav is kind of a Shinui. It means Shinui is considered a different Heftza. So just like it's not the same Heftza and it's not possible because of Esnan Zanav Echei Kelev, so too it's a different Heftza. We say the Heshev is Hagzeilo. The ganav has to return the Gzeilo only if it's Asher Gozal. If it's Kein Sher Gozal, once it undergoes a Shinui, it's not the same Heftza, so there's no longer a Chavis HaShavah. Once it's no longer Chavis HaShavah, then we assume the Ganef is Kaina it, and it's only Mechuyif to give money. So the Ganef is Kaina B'Shinoi is based on the idea that Shinoi is not considered the same Heftza. Not doesn't retain the same identity that it had before. And B'Shamai say no, it says, Ki Toavis HaShem Gam Shneihem, Gam L'Rabba Shinoyeihem. So the Gemara asks, what does Bisil do with the word Gam? The Gam is supposed to be every boy. Gemara has the answer. Gam Bisil al Kasha. Osta gut al Kasha. We don't know. What does the word Gam come to be Marba? Bisil al emphasize Heim. Gam Shnei Hem. Heim. Heim below Shnei Yeim. And Bishamai emphasize the Gam. And we don't know what Bisil is going to do with the Gam. So the Rabbeinu Yonah holds over here also. If you have an Issa, Shenishtana, it's Mutter. How does he know that this is true? So he gives you a Moshal Amad of a Daimer. From the Moshal, you'll understand that Shinoi applies even to non-kosher food. He says if you have a container full of honey and you have a shtik nevela, a piece of meat that didn't have a proper shchita, so it's also bachili. You buy meat in the MP, it's all nevela. So if a piece of meat will sit long enough in the honey will have an effect on it and it'll change it, it'll convert the whole piece of meat into honey. So that honey is mutter because it's an isa shenishtana. So the Rosh quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rosh on Brochas every so often quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, who was before, and he says, Arvach Arvach Boy, how does he know that that's true? How does Rabbeinu Yonah know that the honey that converted the flesh into honey, how does he know? Maybe since I know that it started off as a piece of nevela, maybe it remains nevela. Where did he get that mashal from? So the simple answer is he got it from, there's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. There's a series of Mishnayos in Avodah Zarah. So the first Mishnah, in the middle of Avodah Zarah, the Lamed, so one Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim shel nochrim asurim v'isurim in Issa Hanor. The following things you're not allowed to buy from a nochri over Avodah Zarah, and if you did buy it, it's also banor. Yain Nesach is also banor, yain that he actually poured ala mizbech for Avodah Zarah. It's also banor, tikruvis is also banor. A lot of things are also banor. Then it has a listing, Eilu dvarim shel lavid gacham asurim v'isurim is muta banor. Pasakum, Bishalakum, other things. There are also bachila, but the mutabana. Then the Mishnah says, "Heladram shal nachem." That is mutar to buy. So listed in the Mishnah, things that you're allowed to buy is honey. So the Gemara has a question: honey, why are you permitted to buy honey? Maybe there's chazashmaltz in the honey. How do you know what's there? So the Gemara says, you don't have to worry about the chazashmaltz in the honey. Why not? So the Gemara says, misrisarya. What does that mean? So Rashi learns pshat, the nochri who's in the honey line is not a fool, he's not an idiot. He's not stupid. If he's going to have chazashmaltz, the customers are going to taste it, it's not going to taste like honey. So no one's going to want to buy by him. So we know for sure the goyim are not stupid, they're not going to allow any chazashmaltz or any flesh to fall into the honey. There's nothing to discuss. And the goyim have a different interpretation of the Gemara Misrisarya. They say, no, if chaz hashmaltz fell in and the honey had an effect on it and it converted everything to honey, because we buy the honey from the goyim, and wherever you taste the honey, you take a spoon here, there, everything tastes like honey. So obviously, even if there was chaz hashmaltz, the honey had an effect on it and it converted all the chaz hashmaltz into honey, so that everything is mutter. So Rabbi Yoni gave a mashal, because he's quoting from the Gemara. That's the Pirush HaGoyim in the Gemara. The Rosh is asking, How did the Rabbeinu Yonah know that the Moshe is true? Because he understood the Gemara like Rashi. The Misra Sari means the guy is not going to be so stupid to allow any chaz hashmaltz in. He's going to ruin his business. No one's going to want to buy his honey. But it's not going to taste like honey. But the Rabbeinu Yonah read the Gemara differently. So that's a big... So it's a machlik is the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah. What's the din of Isa Shenishtana? We have it all the time. Now they have enzymes. They can convert anything into anything. If you have the right enzyme, you can take a piece of chicken and convert it into cheese. You can take cheese and convert it into chicken. Just have to know the right enzyme. And the last 30 years, they developed all these crazy wild enzymes. They can convert anything to taste like anything in the world. So that's a shayla. What if you have an isa mamish, an isa shenishtana?
Maybe you can experiment. What happens? You can have a situation is with honey.
It does taste like honey. There are many others. It does taste like honey. But you mean Rashi says it's going to taste... Rashi means in the beginning. Rashi means when you put in chazashmaltz, it has to sit there for a while, that the honey should have an effect on it. If you just put in chazashmaltz, that's going to taste good. But if you leave it there for a long time, honey doesn't spoil. You leave it there for a long time, then everything will taste like delicious honey. They all agree to that. That's the fact. It will taste like delicious honey. So that's a machlekes halacha lemaisa between the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah. So this topic should be discussed in Yerideya. It's not. It's discussed in Aruch Chaim in the siman of what bracha do you say on musk when you smell it. So the Rosh says, and what about eating the musk? The Magen Avraham on the side says, what about pouring the musk into the soup? Your interest in pouring it into the soup is to give it this fragrant smell, but is it muta b'chilo or not? So he quotes in Machlokes the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah. So how do we pass on Halacha l'maisa? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the hachra'a of the Pri Megadim. The Pri Megadim is machria. With respect to dinim d'raisa, it should be machmer. With respect to dinim d'rabbanon, there's room to be mekel. Yeah, what's a din d'rabbanon? If you have what? If you have chazer shmaltz, that's an isa deraisa. If you're dealing, let's say, kidneys on Pesach is only a minig that Ashkenazim have. The Sephardim don't even have the minig. So kidneys on Pesach, is only a minig. What's a din? Something that is also because of a minig, is that like a din deraisa? Is that like a din derabon? Is it more chomer or less chomer than a din derabon? The Primogodim said, and dinim deraisa were machmer, and dinim derabon were makom. So where would you put the overhosam itam minig? So there's a simen in Yeridei, a simen reishu dala, the beginning of the third chelik Yeridei begins with Hilchos Shvuos and Hilchos Nedarim. So there's a whole simen, I think, reishu dala, where it says, if a person has a minig, not to do something, or yes to do something, so minig is binding mitam neder. That's what the Ran and the Dorim, Daf Peyam Ebeis, quotes from the Bali HaTosfos, that if the women have a minig, not to serve fleshiks in the 9 days, the Ran has the minig, not to serve fleshiks in the 3 weeks. We don't have that minig. We just have minig, not to serve fleshiks in the 9 days. So the minig is binding. A minig is binding mitam neder. So the Chasam Sofer lived at the beginning of the Reform Movement. After he died, it got worse. But during his lifetime, it was picking up, it was starting. So the Reform originally only started to pick on menhagim. They didn't like why you say Yikum Purkin twice. So they did away with the second Yikum Purkin. Then at the next convention, they did away with the first Yikum Purkin. That's what the Rav Soloveitchik used to always say over from Shadal. Shadal was an Italian-Jewish thinker, a religious thinker. So he was alive when they were... So first they did away... They said, no one understands Aramaic anyway, so what do you have to say? Two Yikum Purkin, so they did away with the second one. Then had a convention 5 years later, so they decided to do away with the other one also. So he said, that's it. They wiped off all the Yikum Purkins. They're going to do away. Once you start chiseling away, I'm in Hagim, so you got to chisel and chisel, you have nothing left. Then they didn't like why the chasn wears a kittel under the chuppah. Why should the chasn wear a kittel? So they did away with that. Then they did away with not getting married tachas kippas harakiyah. So that's why in the later generation they were so insistent you have to get married tachas kippas harakiyah, because the Reform were doing away with Mahagim. So the Pizchei Tshuva and Yeridei, Zimmer Reish Yudala, has a lotion from a Tshuva Nachasam Sefer, that if you have a Sofik Derabbanan, you have a right to go to Kula, but a Sofik Minig, you have to go to Chumri, because Minig is a Din Deraisa, because Minig is binding Mitam Neder, and Neder is a Din Deraisa. So this is against an Afali Gemara. The Gemara of the Favorish in the Dorm, Daf Tezvav, says, Minig Mitam Neder itself is only Midirabbanan. It's not a Neder Minatur. So you make believe that it's a Neder Midirabbanan. Chasam Sefer and another 25 Tshuvas also writes like that, that if you have a Din the Rabbanon, you have a minig. A minig is a lower level than a din Rabbanon. It's not a higher level. It's not a din deraisa. It's not a din deraisa. So the Pashto says that if you have something, let's say you have kidneys, and the kidneys are nishtanu, it's a totally different parim chadasha. You mixed in an enzyme, and you totally changed the kidneys, and then it should be. Anisa de Rabbanon she nishtanu, so the Prima Godim is mekel on that.
You can use lachatilin?
Probably not lachatchila. Yeah, it probably means if it happened, something fell in, and it's an isa de rabbanu shenishtana. So then there's room to be made. But some you shouldn't do it lachatchila. It's a hachra. It's a hachra. Thus the Mishnah Berurah quotes that hachra from the Prima Godim. How should you pasken on an isa shenishtana? Machleg is the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah. So he says, and dinim deraisa were machma like the Rosh, and dinim derabbanan were mekel like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah, here's an important tosfos. Mem gimel amad aleph. Hold them beis habliya panui. Yeah, in the middle of the meal, let's say they're going to serve wine, and one person is going to say hesebu. It's hesebu. So echem mevarch lekulam. So one person is going to say bor piagofen. Gemara says we don't do that. Shalu as ben zayma. The Gemara has in the middle. How come Bolehem Yaim Betech Hamoz and how come Kalech Lechem Vorach Liatzmo? But it's Hesebu. Why shouldn't you allow one person to say Bar Piagofen? Hesebu helps by Yain. The Gemara says a bit. So Ben Zayma answered, hold on, Beis Habli Aponui. We're afraid that they're in the middle of eating, they're going to choke. They're going to answer Amen, so they may choke. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of eating, it's not healthy. That's what the Gemara says. The Tosfos has 2 days. What if you make an announcement, you say, everybody please pay attention, I want to say Bar Piagov, and I'm going to wait a minute, and everybody swallows what they have in their mouth, and I'm going to say the Bar. So Tosfos doesn't think it's right. That's the beginning of the Tosfos. Yesh Mefarshim, If he says Savri, they minichem lechol and they stop eating, k'dei d'shmaya bracha, v'lanis amein, then it is good. And then they're not so sure. They're not so sure that it's right. This is where the Rishonim quote from the Goinim, they quote a Loshon, Masbir malayayin and marshim malapas. When you say in Kiddush, you say Savri. The other people are not eating. They didn't start eating. They're talking. So it's not a problem. Name based Havli upon it. So you say Savri, please everybody pay attention. I want to be Motzi everybody with the bracha. But when you're about to say Hamotzi, also no one's eating. They didn't start eating yet. They watched. They're all waiting. So you don't, instead of saying Savri, Savri means pay attention. You say Birshus. That was the meaning. Masbirim ala yayin and marshim ala pas. So the shaila is, so let's say under the chuppah, when the rabbi says the bichas eris and the bichas nisuin, so he should say Savri, or should he say Birshus? So that's a machlekes achreinim. The Nachal Shiva is a sefer on the Nusach of the Ksuba, and he talks about the chuppah. So he quotes machlekes achreinim. Before the Masada Kedushin says the Birchas Harrison, before he says Birchas Nisun, should he say Savri or should he say Birshus? So the Rabbanim today don't want to get involved in the Machlokes and say they don't say either. They just say Bar Piagov. So that's not right. You're supposed to say, please pay attention. So Rav Soloveitchik Gov used to say Savri. Anyway, so that's the beginning. Beginning of the Tais. The end of the Tais was, the end of the Tosfos, they write, there's an issue. Avol tzarchin k'tzas mehavdola. The last 10 lines in the Tosfos. What's tzarchin k'tzas mehavdola? Shanim avdilim v'yomdim. Everybody stands for havdola. How is one person, how is the one who says havdola, how is he mo'itzi the others if they're all standing? So Tosfos says, takim okar is that they should sit. So the Ramah quotes this, that you should sit when you say Havdalah. Why is there a problem? How you might say the other people with Havdalah? What's the problem with Havdalah? Havdalah. And Bar Piagofen or Hamoitzi. Bar Piagofen are drinking what? The Birchas Hananin. Drinking of the wine or the eating of the bread, then you need Haseba. But just to say Havdalah, what's the issue? So the Birchas Rosh explains that obviously the meaning in the days of the Baal HaTosfos was that all of the people who heard Havdalah would take a little sip of the wine. So he's being Motzi them not only in the Havdalah. If he's only being Motzi with Havdalah, there's no reason why you should require a yeshiva, the danke, Haseba, the two. The meaning was everybody takes a sip of wine. So for that, that's what Tosfos time is you need. But if the minhag today is that no one else drinks the wine, so there's no issue, the whole shada doesn't exist. That's what they quote. And Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that you have to sit for Havdalah to be Moitzi everybody. So the Bi'ur Agra writes, Tosfos Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Sof De Ramas Chol Bein Mis Havli Upon. He gives you the Maramokah. So that's a question. What was the purpose of the Bi'ur Agra? He doesn't say that he disagrees. So that means every time he doesn't say he disagrees, it means that he agrees. So the Chazanish assumes like that. If the Vilna Gaon wouldn't mislead us, if he doesn't write that he disagrees, obviously he agrees. But in the earlier generation, before the Chazanish, 100 years before, they said not so. The Bi'ur Agra was just for the purpose of giving Ma'ar Mekaymus. They say when the Vilna Gaon passed away, he left several notebooks. So some of the notebooks were the Bi'ur Agra, just giving Ma'ar Mekaymus on every phrase in the Shulchan Aruch. His great-grandfather who wrote the Bi'ur Agra gave you only Ma'ar Mekaymus on every sif and every din. And the Vilna Gaon, the Bi'ur Agra is written on the assumption that you're reading the Bi'ur Agra at the same time. Sometimes the first Ma'ar Mekaymus and the Bi'ur Agra will be Shom. What's Shom? Shom means the same Ma'ar Mekaymus where the Bi'ur Agra quoted. Doesn't mean Shom, the last Ma'ar Mekaymus I quoted in the previous siman. The Bi'ur Agra was written in such a way it's supposed to be read together with the Bi'ur Agra. That's obvious like that. So the Vilna Gaon had a separate notebook where he wrote his opinions. So So whenever they quote from that notebook in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, a lot of times Ebenezer, they'll write at the beginning Likut and they'll write Ad Kan, that this came from the other notebook. That's when he expresses his own opinion. But in the Bir Agvah, just gives Marmakamis, a lot of times he does not agree with what it says in Shulchan. He's just giving the Marmakamis. Here he just gives the Marmakam. Tosis Mem Gimel Aman Aleph. But they quote in the Svarim that that Rav Chaim Balozhin has said, he remembers the Vilna Gaon said, Havdalah standing. He didn't sit. He sat for Kiddush, because in Kiddush are the Malkam Suda, so you sit. But he didn't sit for Kiddush. For Abdullah, Abdullah doesn't have to be Malkam Suda. The Pashta says, like the Birchas Rosha, the Tosis is only raising an issue. Tzarachin Ktsas, the issue that they raised, was because everybody took a sip from the cup of the Abdullah. That's why there was an issue. The Chazanish has a different taina against Tosis. He says, there is a Gemara at the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara says, we allow Yotzah Moitzi, even though I already said Kiddush, I'm at the end of my meal, if someone comes in late and he doesn't know how to say Kiddush, I can recite Kiddush for him. Not only can I recite Kiddush for him, I can even say the Bar Piyagofen of Kiddush for him, even though it doesn't apply to me at all. Usually you don't allow Yotzah Moitzi by Birchas HaNenin, but the Bar Piyagofen of Kiddush and the HaMoitzi Lachmanot of Achilas Matzah, we do permit Yotza Moitzi. We do allow Yotza Moitzi. So the Chazanish assumed that Dabar Pashut, Kiddush and Abdullah should be the same. So if by Kiddush you allow Yotza Moitzi, even though you're not drinking the wine, even though you don't need the Havdalah, and you don't plan to drink the wine at all, so the same thing should be true by the Bar Piyagofen of Havdalah. I should be able to say Havdalah and Bar Piyagofen for you, even though I already said Havdalah, even though I'm not going to drink the wine at all. So why does Tosis insist that everybody should be seated? Everybody should sit. What do you accomplish by sitting? By sitting you accomplish the whole Chabur is eating together. The whole Chabur is drinking wine together. So the whole Chabur only has an obligation to offer one Bar Piyagofen. But he doesn't have to be drinking at all. He already said Havdalah. He doesn't plan to drink anyone. He's only saying the Bracha for them. So what's gained by his sitting? The Chazanish Tainus, he doesn't understand. If the Gemara says that you say Yotza Moitza by Kiddush, no reason in the world to distinguish between Kiddush and Abdullah. So if Abdullah, you don't have to be drinking the wine. So what do you gain by sitting? Sitting only accomplished that it's one Chabura drinking together. So Rav Soloveitchik said, in the name of his grandfather Rav Chaim, that there's room to distinguish between Kiddush and Abdullah, because the Magen Avraham has a tshuva from Rashi. He quotes from the Sefer Lamed Pei. Lamed Pei is Likutei Pardes. He didn't have the Pardes. Pardes is a Sefer by a Talmud of Rashi, where he quotes Psokim of Rashi. So he had a Kitzur. He had Likutei Pardes. Some of the Tshuvas of Rashi. He quotes that Likutei Pardes tells a story that someone was reciting Havdalah and someone else came into the room in the middle. So the one who came in late missed the first bracha or two, but he was there by the time the Mavdil got to Mavdil Kodesh Lachol, the final bracha, he was there. So Rashi Paskin, that is Yotzei Havdalah. You don't have to hear the Bar Piyagofen, you don't have to hear. You should say Bar Mi'or Hesh and Bar Minim Samim on your own. If you missed it, you should say it on your own. It doesn't necessarily have to be recited over the cup of wine. The Gemara says, Imsachim, Rebbe Mefazram V'hoda V'chozren V'rochem Malakos. Rebbe would say Bar Mi'or Hesh separately, Bar Minim Samim separately, and then when he came home, he would repeat it again to say it again Malakos. If you say Bar Minim Samim Bar Mi'arayish Alakos, you enhance the chashivas of the bracha, like we said Shechyonu. The Gemara says on Shalosh Regalim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Shechyonu I'm Rafi LeBashuk. You can say the bracha of Shechyonu even if you're walking in the street. You don't have to recite it over a cup of wine, but if you do recite it over a cup of wine, you enhance the significance of chashivas of the bracha, becomes a bracha Alakos. So the same over here, the Gemara says, Bar Minim Samim, Bar Mi'ariyesh, a brachas that the Chachamim instituted to be recited on Mitzvah Shabbos, not necessarily in connection with the Havdalah, but if you'll recite it over a cup of wine, you'll enhance the Chashivas of the Bar Minim Samim, Bar Mi'ariyesh. The common practice is, a lot of people say Havdalah, and then when it comes to Bar Minim Samim, they put down the cup of wine, and then they pick up the Samim in their right hand. So in Shulchan Aruch says that it's not right. If you put down the cup, so it's no longer a bracha lakos, you're supposed to be holding the cup. Strictly speaking, even if you didn't hold the cup, let's say you have a cup of wine on the table, so the Gemara says, tzorach lagbir tefach. You have to pick it up, the tefach, however high a tefach is. Okay, you pick it up. And if you didn't pick it up, let's say a person is nervous, he didn't pick it up, and it's on the table, so b'diavad is yotze, it's a bracha lakos. So Mustam have said Abdullah, and you put down the cup of wine and said Bar Minim Psamim, holding the Psamim in the right hand and the cup is not in your hand, so it's also b'diavad, it's also a bracha lakos. But more correct is you should still continue to hold the cup of wine in your hand. And Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Rav Yoh, who says that at the beginning of the Havdalah, you hold the cup of wine in the right hand and the Psamim in the left hand. Because the Gemara quotes the Machlekes is Beishama and Beisilo. If you have Yain and Shemin, Yain and Shemin, which one should you hold it in the right hand? The one that you're going to say the Brochan, you hold it in the right hand, if you're a righty. When you say the Brochan, so you hold it in the right hand. What if there are two things? So the one that's more important, you should hold it in the right hand. One that's left less important, you hold it in the left hand. So it's machlek is bisham and bisil. So bisil will say, you should hold the yayin in the right hand, say the bar piagofen on the yayin first, and then hold the b'samim in the left hand. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that after you say bari prihagofen, and then you say bari midim b'samim, you're still holding the cup of wine in the right hand, you hold the b'samim in the left hand. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, pashtus in the Gemara. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rav Yoh, no, it's self understood that you switch hands. You shouldn't put the cup of wine down on the table, because then the bari midim b'samim will no longer be a brocha lakos. More correct is to continue holding the cup of wine, but you should switch hands. You put the cup of wine in the left hand, hold the b'samim in the right hand, because whatever you say the brochan, you should really hold in your right hand. So the Vilna Gaon Tainis, the simple reading of the Gemara is not so you don't have to keep on switching hands. In the beginning, you started off, you hold the wine in the right hand, you hold the psalmim in the left hand, you go right there like that. So that is an important taisus. Mem Gimel Amanal. So Reb Chaim, again, so the Magen Avraham quotes from the Likutei Paris of Psak of Rashi, that the person who came in late to Havdalah, he came in and he heard the whole bracha, Mavnev Kodesh L'chol. So Rashi paskan that Yoytze. And the other bracha is the Bar Me'arish and Bar Me'psam. I'll have to say later. It doesn't necessarily have to be Alakos, you can say it later. So Rab Soloveitchik said he heard from Rab Chaim that it could be that Rashi would not say that by Kiddush. Could it by Kiddush, if he came late, it could be that you're not Yoytze. Why? There's room to distinguish that Bar Piagofen is an integral part of the Kiddush. Mashenik and Abdullah have the Rashi holds that Bar Piagofen Abdullah is purely a Brichas Hanenin. But the Bar Piagofen by Kiddush could be that's part of the Kiddush. Why should it be so? Why should Bar Piagofen be part of the Kiddush? I remember in the middle of the Shir, this was a Yotzei Drasha. In the middle of the Shir, Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that on Shabbos, we are celebrating the fact that we believe in the story of creation. And when you say Borei, Pri Hagofen, you're talking about the Bria, so that's part of the Kiddush, because he's talking about the Bria. Yeah, but that would only explain Bar Pri Hagofen and Kiddush on Shabbos. It wouldn't explain on Yontif. Yontif is not Zecha Lebria Soilom. Now, so they should explain differently, because the Kiddush, why is it that Kiddush can be recited either on wine or on matzahs, on chalas? Either on wine or on chalas. But it can't be recited on Chamar Medina. Most of them cannot say Kiddush on Chamar Medina on Friday night. And Havdalah is the reverse. You can recite on Chamar Medina, but you can't recite Havdalah on chalas. Why not? Rav Soloveitchik said that Havdalah is a bracha lakos. So Chamar Medina is considered a kos, but chalas are not a bracha lakos. So Havdalah has to be recited over a kos, either kos yayin preferably, or a kos of Chamar Medina. Mashani can Kiddush is en Kiddush ala mamakam Suda. So the Kiddush is for the purpose of being kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. So Achila b'kviyas, a kviyas Suda, is only pasan yayin. That's this Gemara. Has Seba only applies to pasan yayin. Seba doesn't apply to any other kind of foods. So that's why Kiddush can be recited either on pasan or on yayin, because it's an inyan of your kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. not all the Rishayim agree. Many Rishayim hold that you cannot recite Kiddush over Chalas, because in addition to being an act of Kriya Suda, it also has to be a Bracha Lakos. So there's room to argue and say, you cannot say Kiddush over Chalas. The Psak that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch is that for Friday night you can recite Kiddush over Chalas. Shabbos morning it says you cannot. Shabbos morning you cannot say Kiddush over Chalas, because all you say is Hamotzi. There's no other bracha. So you always start the meal with hamotzi. On Sunday morning also for breakfast, you say hamotzi and you eat a challah. So that's not called the Kiddush. So you have to start with bar pi agafen. Shabbos morning has to be the bar pi agafen over the wine. Then the Gemara has a memra, mem gimel amid base in the middle. Noach lo lo adam, it's preferable she yapel atzman toch kibshan eish, al yav menech aver barab, min ola mi tomer. That she was pregnant, so they said she was mezana, and she didn't say who made her pregnant. She said, the miach ha-samis ha-psil mazeh, whoever, that's the man who made me pregnant. And then when they found out that was Yehuda, so they didn't put it to death. So she was not going to publicize it unless he's going to say himself. So that's, they were going to burn her. The Himut says, they were going to take her out and they were going to burn her. So you see, Noach Lodom, Sheah Pelatzman, Tach Kib Shanesh, Val Yam Pnecha Verberam. So the Rambam doesn't quote this. The Rambam quotes, it's not permissible to be Mam Pnecha Verberam. Yes, so some assume that this is an agarata, this is an exaggeration. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva takes it literally. He says, Noach Lodom Shiaplash and Tarkish and Eish, why? So he says, either Zoni Horeg Val Yavar and three Averus, or the Zol Geri Reis and Shvichas Domim. So he says, the Gemara says in Bob Metziah, that if one is Malbin Pnech Aver, why is it called Malbin? Because the face turns white. Lovon. Malbin Pnech Aver. The face is usually reddish, the blood is circulating. Then when you humiliate the person, so that the blood doesn't circulate for a second, and he turns white. So that's in a certain sense a form of Shvichas Damim. Shvichas Damim means Ritzicha. So it's just a bunch of words. It's not really. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. Just like you say, Yehorek Val Yavah Be'avod Zoreh, and by Gilei Reis and by Shvichas Damim, so you say Yehorek Val Yavah by the Abizrayus of Avod Zoreh, by the Abizrayus of Shvichas Damim as well. So Malam Pnech Avei Abiram is an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. So that's a big Chiddush. Abizrayu itself is a Machloikus HaRishayim. Abizrayu means all of the related Isurim. Is there a din of Yehorek Val Yavah on the related Isurim? Yeah, that was a famous case in America. A boy took a girl on a date on a Ferris wheel, and then he was the last one there. And then the one who was running the whole place forgot that he had two customers there. And he locked up the whole thing and he went home. And they were screaming, let us down, he didn't hear, and he went home. So the girl said, I can't stay here. Sinisa Yichud, he was a religious boy. But she said, Sinisa Yichud, she can't stay there. So he said, but you're going to get killed if you climb down. So she said, Yehorek Val Yavah, Sabizrayu Av Gili Arayis, Yichud. So she started climbing down the Ferris wheel and she fell down and she broke her leg or something, she was injured, and she sued the company. And then they had somebody testify in court that that's Jewish law requires, the judge said it depends. If Jewish law requires that she has to climb down, then they're responsible to pay. So they had a rabbi testify that there's a din of Yehorek Val Yavah and Av Israel's of Gili Arayis. It's that question whether that's so or not, but that's when the Maaseh Shoyah, that's what happened. It was written up in the newspapers at the time, in the legal newspapers at the time, the old case. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. There's a question in Shulchan Aruch whether we pass Yehorek Val Yavah on Abizrayus. But this is even a bigger chiddush. This is called Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. The Malbim Pnech Aver is called Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. Remember when I was your age, there was a story going around, and then they printed it in the newspapers years later, 50 years later, that 60 years later, that Reb Shimon Shkup had a daughter who married one of his Talmidim, and he was in the administration of the yeshiva with him. So they had a daughter. And their daughter was a communist. There were difficult times. Even religious families, Rabbanim, had children who were not observant. So the daughter died and the son-in-law died, and the girl was a Yesayma. And she was a communist and a Zionist at the same time. Communist and a Zionist. So there were a couple of months that she stayed by her grandfather, by her grandparents, by Reb Shimon Shkup. So once on a Shabbos morning, a girlfriend came, a non-observing girlfriend came to visit her. When Reb Shimon Shkup came home from the yeshiva with the Talmidim, so the girlfriend was there in front of the house, and she stretched out her hand to Reb Shimon Shkup, and she said, Shabbat Shalom. So he shook her hand. And then the girl left after a while. So the granddaughter apologized to her grandfather why her girlfriend stretched out her hand. It's not proper. So Reb Shimon Shkup, that's how the story goes. Reb Shimon Shkup said, your girlfriend didn't realize how improper it is to shake hands with a man, but I realize how improper it is to be involved in Penei Chaver V'Ram, because all the boys were there, and she would be humiliated. So it's more important that I should shake her hand, rather than, because Mikra Din, he held that's really mutter, it's not Kiribas, it's Derechiba, and it's just a Chumrah, so it was more important that he should not humiliate her, and so on. So they say that granddaughter later on, she was a Zionist, she moved to Eretz Yisrael, she married a Jewish boy, so Reb Shimon Shkup sent her a mazel tov, then they had a bris, he sent her a mazel tov, Reb Shimon passed away. And then that girl later on, I remember about maybe 15 years ago, she passed away, and then they wrote up everything in the newspaper that she was a granddaughter of Reb Shimon Shkup. They wrote over the whole story that her girlfriend came to visit on Shabbos, Reb Shimon Shkup, shook her hand and so on. It was written up in the newspapers. Reb Shimon Shkup had a son who was not a Shem Shabbos. He taught in Toronto in the day school. He taught Gemara, but he wasn't a Shem Shabbos. Reb Shimon was here for a year in Yeshivas Abitz Kohanan, but he didn't try to contact the son. He knew that he wouldn't be able to influence him. So nisht is nisht. Couldn't do anything about it. All the Rabbanim at that time, they all had children who were not all Shomer Mitzvahs, because the pressure to join the communists, each group, the pressure was so great. Everybody was falling for all of these Mishugas. The Gemara says, "Shishad varm gnai loy le talmid chacham." What are the six things? Al yetsi b'manolim hametuloyim. Gemara says, if it's tlai agabi tlai, the chacham is not allowed to go with a revav al bigdoy. He's not allowed to dress improperly. He has to dress nicely because he represents Kavod HaTorah. So he's going to wear begodim, he's going to wear shoes that are mituloim. Mara says, only if it's tanai agabit tlai, really looks like shmatas. So then it's a bizayin atar. Tam Chacham has to be careful, no one should be choshenim in mishka b'zachar, so you shouldn't go mevusim, you shouldn't put on perfume, and you shouldn't go balayla, no one should be choshenim is having an affair with a zayna somewhere. Every Talmid Chacham has to be careful. Then the Gemara has, Ayisaper Misha Bashuk, he shouldn't talk to a woman in the street. I feel he is there because not everybody knows that it's my wife or my daughter. They may not realize, and they'll think that the Talmid Chacham is Tam. He sees a nice, good-looking girl on the street, he strikes up a conversation. Reb Chaim Berlin was a son of the Netziv from the first wife, and Meir Bar Ilan was a son from the second wife. So Reb Chaim Berlin, in the collection of letters that they have, so he wrote a letter to one of his Talmidim that you can't observe this din b'zman hazeh because they're going to laugh at you. He says also about shaking hands with the women. You're not going to shake hands with the women. They're going to think that you're a meshugana. So he says you have no choice. Mikra din is mutter to shake hands and not their achibah. So don't observe any chumras. Then he says, you can't observe this midas chasidus, not to talk to women in the street. They think that you're a meshugana. You have to be careful not to make a chilashim. Okay. Tomorrow, B'lei Neder, we'll start the next Mishnah. Mem Dalet. Very good.
The honey is a preservative. The meat would not dissolve and eventually turn into honey if left in honey. It would stay. I read an article about how the scientists kept the honey in the same for years.